Shane Brewer, thank you for joining me on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Really looking forward to catching up and reflecting your journey at the Geelong Cats in Port Adelaide, mate. Great to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Trent. No, it's great to finally catch up.
Mate, before we talk all things footy, and I've got a lot of questions, obviously being a bit of a Cat supporter myself, and you had some years at the Geelong Footy Club. What are you doing with yourself at the moment, mate? And do you still have any footy involvement?
No, not at the moment. It's probably the first year I haven't for a long time. We've moved back to Horsham probably 15, 16 years ago from Adelaide, and I just wanted to bring the kids up in the country and move back here and sort of got involved a bit in coaching and that here and then at the junior level as well. But that all sort of finished last year. We wanted to travel a little bit more and get, and we had kids spread all over the country. So we wanted to go see them a bit more without being tied down. So we've got a sports store in Horsham and yeah, really enjoy our time here.
Oh, fantastic, mate. Hey, before you started your AFL career, Brew, you had a few seasons with Woodville West Torrens and the Sandful. How much did that stint help you with your footy development before you went on to play AFL?
Yeah, a fair bit. Look, I was pretty lucky to get over there. I was actually played for a small team called Kalki in the Wimmera and then in the district league here. And then Ronnie Rearmouth actually come back into our area and he got a job coaching Minyip in the Wimmera league. And halfway through one season, he said, "Do you want to come over and play a few games?" So I went over and played a few games with Minyip and we actually won a flag with them. And I was lucky he knew Neil Balm at Woodville West Torrens. And he actually rang Balm and said, "Look, got a couple of guys. Can I send them over? Can they try out?" So I was sort of lucky that Ronnie knew Balmy and he suggested go over and have a go. So I did. And that time under Balmy was fantastic. Like, just that intensity and that he has for the game was sort of made me realise that you have to be probably a little bit more switched on and, you can enjoy, but you also got to be a bit more professional. And he was great, but that first year I had three different breaks in arms and wrists and stuff, so I didn't play too many games. And he finished up and Bruce Winter took over from him and we went on won a flag in 93 and had an awesome side. I think just learning to play at a, that higher level and intensity and also what I did off the field with a bit more professionalism where, country footy, you love your training, but outside of that, it's, pretty much fun. And at the end of the day, it's, the footy's just a mechanism to all get together and have a good time, really. So, it probably gave me a bit of insight to how I had to be a little bit more professional about how I went about it.
Geelong selected you with pick 70 in the 93 preseason draft. And I read an article just online whilst I was doing a bit of research on your Brewers that you didn't know you got drafted until you were congratulated at Sandful training. How long was it until the Cats contacted you?
I ended up being later that night. Then they contacted me after I got home from footy training. But, I had no idea. I didn't even really realise the draft was on. Because I'd only, the year before, I had three separate breaks. So I only played half a dozen games, if that. And then it's only been the pre-season cup. And I was lucky I played in the seniors for that, for Woodville, West Torrens. And so I had no idea, even on the radar. When I turned up to train and they all congratulated me, "What's going on? You've been drafted." I went, "Oh, fantastic." And I thought, "Well, what does that mean?" It was out of the blue and I was probably pretty lucky. Stephen Wells, I believe, was over watching the final of the Foundation Cup, the pre-season cup, and we played against Port and I actually had an okay game. And he happened to be there. And it's just how lucky it is. Like, you just got to be right place, right time. He saw something that, I don't know what he saw, but anyway, he thought it was worth drafting. So, I was pretty lucky to get picked up.
You stayed in the Sandful that year, though, in 93. Obviously, as you said before, resulting in a premiership. Did the Cats try to get you over for that season or were they happy for you to stay and come over in 1994?
Yeah, no, they were happy. Clyde and Stephen Wells come over after the draft. We sat down and had a bit of a chat and I spoke to them that I was actually almost sort of giving footy away at the end of 92 because of the broken arms and the three separate breaks I had. I was sort of a bit disillusioned with it all and I was almost going to give it away. And so we sort of discussed maybe just get a good year under my belt at the sample level and see where it goes from there. We'll chat again at the end of the year. And it worked out really well, probably. I need to get some confidence back myself playing footy and know and get through a season. So it worked out perfect, really.
Now, I know it's a long time ago, mate, and you said your memory can be a little bit fuzzy at times because it was such a long time ago. But what are your sort of early recollections or memories of your first pre-season at the Cats? Now, was it intimidating running around with the likes of, Gary Ablett, Buddha Hocking, Couch, Stone and Brownless and the like?
You keep naming them, aren't they? Bairstows and Hinkleys and Hughes's, and it just keeps Riccardi's, it just keeps going. I was, no doubt about it, you're intimidated because you turn up there and go, oh my God, these blokes are, you only see them on TV. But I probably didn't watch a lot of footy. Like, I love footy, no doubt about it. I love playing, but I probably weren't a, I wouldn't say I was a real barracker or supporter of any real team. But yeah, I got over there, and then that pre-season just goes to a different level. I remember probably driving home the first night and hardly being able to hang onto the steering wheel and stuff like that. You're just absolutely spent. And so I remember being fairly hard. I remember our last pre-season training the first year I was there before the Christmas break. And we trained at Landy Field in Geelong, and we pretty well did 5 1K time trials. And I remember turning up there, and there was cameras and people everywhere. And we had no one at pre-season training. I was going, what the hell's going on here? And Gary Ablett Senior was turned up for his first training run. It was the last one before. So he's rocked in, and yeah, it was amazing. I just, he, phenomenal the amount of patience and that he had with him. People just wanting his time. And wherever he was, everyone was in his face and whatever. But yeah, I remember him turning up for that. And I remember us doing these 5 1Ks, and most of us were doing probably between 3 minutes, 3 minutes 20, something like that for these 1Ks. And I reckon Gazza come around in about 4 minutes 40 or something. I don't think, geez, that's not real good. And everyone was clapping him. We're going, what's going on? He goes, I just ran a personal best. So, over a K, he wouldn't, wasn't quick. But over 20 metres, he was the fastest bloke by a long shot. He could wind himself up that quick. He was phenomenal.
I remember talking to someone from Brisbane when I was on the podcast earlier last year, and they said they were at the game when he crunched through Johnny Gastev on the lead up at the Gabba, and he said it was the hardest crunch, and you just didn't want to be in his way because, as you said, 20 metres out, his pace at the footy, unbelievable.
Well, if he picked a guy up from 3 or 4 metres, his pace over that 3 or 4 metres by the time he got there was phenomenal. And I remember him and John Worsfold at Cadinia Park one day lined each other up, and it was like two freight trains hitting each other, and they both just bounced back up and looked at each other. 10 minutes later, they did it again, and I reckon they looked at each other, I reckon, that's probably it. I think we're not doing that anymore. But geez, they hit hard. He was, and I look, I was lucky I got a few goals, and I pay them all to him because the players around him were that worried and intimidated about where he was, but that freed us up because they were not worried about me as much. They were more worried about where's he? And so we just picked up a few scraps here and there of what he didn't clean up.
What was the directive when the ball was going forward from the midfielders? Was it to look to Ablett most of the time? Because you had some good targets down there, as you said, Billy Brownless and Stone, when he played there, if he didn't play at centre half back, you were lurking around and the like. What was the directive with, I guess, the way you guys play? Was it always Gaz first and foremost?
No, not at all. It was not never, well, not to me, never said that, if you're getting it, look for Gaz. But he presented himself so well that you look up and he's almost drawing the ball to him to say, hey, kick it to me. And those sort of guys, you want to kick it to them. And I think by the way he presented it and at the footy, most of the time that's the one you went for. No doubt about it, you're drawn to it as well. So no, it wasn't a directive to say that's how we want to kick our goals and that's where we're going to go and you get the crumbs. It was, I think he just had that presence that you wanted to give him the ball anyway.
Yeah, unbelievable player. Just you used to just love going to the footy to watch Gazza. I remember being a Geelong supporter, those years of 94 and 95 where he kicked the 100 and the 1,000 and so forth. Just what he did was unbelievable.
Oh mate, and I look at his training regiment wasn't, the highest thing on the, if he trained Friday night, I think first year I was there, we trained Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and he'd come out Friday night, and that was it. So on limited training, but he was just, phenomenal what he could do, and snap the ball from 50 and go through post height, like it was just amazing. He was an amazing footballer, no doubt about it.
Hey, a remarkable season, your debut year in 94, obviously, which resulted in a grand final. But before the grand final, the final series had everything. You had, the two goals after the siren, Billy against Footscray and Gaz in the prelim against North. You had the spirited win against Carlton. I think there was, three major players that didn't play in that game at Waverley against the Blues with some top personnel yeah. out. Before the grand final, what an amazing series to be a part of.
Yeah, we should have stopped there, shouldn't we? Yeah, it was. That was probably the most disappointing thing is, that final series was just amazing. The amount of people we had at trainings and stuff like that was fantastic. And some of those wins were, things you dream about. Billy kicking that goal after the siren in the first one. And then, like you said, Bairstow, Hocking Couch pulled out of the following week when we were playing Carlton out at Waverley. And on the bus ride out there, it was deadly quiet in the bus. I sort of had that feeling like, oh, Jesus, how are we going to go? And I remember Malcolm White gave us a speech before that game and I ran out on the ground. I had tears coming down my face, but I knew we weren't going to lose. And that was probably the first time I really realised the influence a coach can have on it. I thought, coach, moves a few magnets around. But the way he got us up and ready for that game as we ran out there and we were doing, Johnny Barnes flying across a bloke's boot doing a smother and, stuff like that, which you don't see too often. And, it was an amazing feeling to run out there knowing you're going to win before we'd even kick the footy. And then the following week to beat North, that kick after siren as well. It was just, things you dream of for those 3 weeks. But then probably the most disappointing thing is our performances in grand finals just weren't where they needed to be, from a personal level and probably from a team level. And you put that down to a few things saying, look, we'd had a fairly solid final series or whatever, but when it comes to grand finals, you've got to put a better effort in than what we did. And that's probably something I'll look back on for a long time and probably be most disappointed about is you sort of get ranked on how you perform in those big games, and I definitely didn't, and a fair few of us probably didn't as well. So that's probably the one that hurts the most. But, I was pretty young, naive, first year in footy at the AFL level, and just going with the flow. I thought this is fantastic. So, I think I played 25 games in the first season. So I was lucky.
Was there one grand final, 94 or 95, that hurt a little bit more? Thinking that you're a better chance in one of them? Because Carlton were pretty good in 95 and West Coast, they had a great run into 94. Obviously, a home final in the prelim and everything sort of went their way a little bit too.
No, I probably maybe understood a bit more what it meant in 95 than 94, but and like I said, they were two ripping sides, no doubt about it. But you can lose and then you can get flogged, and we pretty well got flogged, and that's probably the disappointing thing is, I thought, I don't mind getting beaten by a better team, that happens, but you've got to at least bring something to the table. And those days we struggled and probably, I look back now as a young fella, I probably played a game 4 or 5 times during the week before I'd even got there. And you got there and you just felt flat. And, that's probably the most disappointing thing. But, is you have a couple of cracks at it and you don't even get within a quarter time, it's pretty well done. Well, that's disappointing.
I want to ask you about, you had two coaches at Geelong, Blighty, obviously, as you said before, and Gary Ayres. Was there much contrast in the way they went about their coaching, in the seasons you were at the Cats?
Yeah, they did. They were definitely different coaches. And I was very lucky that I went across to Geelong and Malcolm White, obviously, he saw something that he thought, I could bring to the table. And he pretty well said to me, look, I'm going to play. I'm going to stick with you. I've got confidence you can play at the level. And he always give me things to work on. Hey, you stand a bit close to the contest or do this or do that. He was fantastic for me, but then you'll speak to other blokes and they'll go, I didn't like Whitey because he didn't have the time of day for me or whatever, but I was lucky he did for me. Whereas he was a bit different, we probably, didn't see the game the same way and, his feedback was probably less, I was lucky with Whitey, it was more individual, where with him it wasn't. So, they were different sort of coaches.
After Geelong, you went to Port Adelaide for its inaugural season. What prompted the move to the Power, mate?
I had some struggles in 96 where I'd been in and out a little bit. A couple of times got dropped or whatever. And Port were sort of throwing it out that maybe they're looking at me coming back, and I probably at the time said, "Oh, look, I'll think about it." And then at the end of the season, I'd sort of nah, we'll settle in Geelong. I love playing at Geelong, so I sort of said no. And I'd actually were heading overseas for a holiday with my wife, and I popped in and saw Ayres and said, "Look, I'm hearing that maybe you guys are going to do a deal with Port." And I said, "Look, I don't want to go. We're happy. My wife happy here. Everything's going really well. Got a contract, so happy to stay." And he said, "Oh, look, yeah, no, unless it's a win-win situation, we won't do anything." Anyway, long story short, went overseas and the deal was pretty well done. So I come back in and yeah, pretty well had to go. And look, to say saying that, it was awesome. I would have loved to stay at Geelong. I always believed I'd always be, only play at one team, but to come across to a club in the first season in the competition and be part of that was really an amazing experience. And the quality of the kids that they had there was unbelievable. For us in that first year, I think we missed out on the finals by half a game, which was absolutely, fantastic effort. When you look at the squad, we had some legends in there, Wanganeen's and Primus and a few others, but the rest of us were only second stringers. We weren't guns by any means, but the young kids that they brought through their system was, yeah, that they did a great job, and they were driven.
Mate, you're always famous with the trivia questions, your name, because you're the first player for Port Adelaide to kick a goal in AFL footy. So on reflection, a pretty good memory.
Yeah, it is, but I always say to people, I think Collingwood would have kicked 10 before we kicked our first one that day, which was the most disappointing thing. But hey, look, that was a big day for the club. Your first game on the MCG against Collingwood, like there's no harder task going around, I don't think. And for a young team who, three quarters of the team probably hadn't even played on the MCG, it was a fair ask. But to turn up, that around and have your first win in round three, I think was a testament to the sides. I think because they were young, they just weren't frightened by anything either, which was great. So, yeah, but to kick the first goal, yeah, like I say, it's a quiz question, but that's about it to me. It was more about, I pity we weren't a little bit more, we weren't closer to them.
Hey, the club's first ever win you said about was in round three that year. It was funnily enough against the Geelong Cats. A big moment, a great moment for the club and yourself. How'd you go playing against some of your old mates in that game? And obviously, getting the chocolates on that occasion.
Yeah, it's one I didn't really enjoy. I like getting the win was fantastic, no doubt about it. But for me, I found it hard playing against guys you're really you're good mates with, and you love spending your time with them, and now you're on the other side of it, trying to play against them. I found that difficult, no doubt about it. But and to get the win against them was probably the last team I'd probably want to get the first win against. But saying that, to get our first win on the round three was great.
Hey, what was the feeling like in South Australia with the second side in the AFL? And then I guess a follow-up question from that is, can you explain what the rivalry was like then against the Adelaide Crows in the showdown?
Yeah, look, I think it was probably the best thing to happen to the Adelaide Crows was Port coming in, no doubt about it, because in a one-team town, they had it all on a platter, really. And when I was there playing for Woodville, it was, yeah, I just felt that they had no one pushing them in regards. And when Port come in, all of a sudden they had a rival in town to say, "Hey, Jesus, hang on, we've got another team now. We've got to perform." And I really believe that's what drove them to those premierships, is Port coming in, because they all of a sudden had someone, another team that they were up against. And no showdowns, they are finals footy. The build up for them all week, the way the two teams went at it, it was, yeah, it's a hot rivalry. And they're some of the best games, ever been part of. Is they're just amazing. Like I said, they're finals footy type of stuff. So yeah, I loved them. And they always will be, I think. The two clubs don't like each other. So they're always going to go at it. And yeah, it's just good. And I think it's a good build up for for both teams. You're playing a bit of finals type footy before you're actually into the finals. So yeah, the rivalry is she's pretty strong.
And then early days too, it was pretty strong off field with a few players as well at one of the pubs and that as well, I reckon, from memory.
Yeah. They didn't love each other on the field, and definitely didn't love each other off the field either. There was a few altercations. We probably need to choose different places where we went and hung out, I think, which would have worked a bit better. But yeah, no, that just shows what the rivalry was like. And it's strong. It's people go, oh, yeah, it's just Port playing Crows. But if you're over there and you're amongst it, it is one of the best rivalries to be part of.
You got to experience finals with the Cats on a couple of occasions, Brew, and then in your last season with the Power in 1999, the clubs made finals, made a qualifying final. Were you surprised that the club featured so early in their AFL journey, or was it no surprise to you with the list profile that you guys had?
No, I was definitely surprised. Like I said, you look at the list, there were some stars, but you look at the Geelong side I played in, there was stars everywhere. You can understand where Port there wasn't. So for them to, and I probably look back now after seeing GWS and Gold Coast come in, how difficult they found it to even get to play final footy and to do it that early, to me was an amazing effort. Yeah, I think the club, initially that, and to win a flag in 03 or whatever it was, I think, a phenomenal effort from a new club coming in. And that probably only been cemented even more, like I said, with GWS and Gold Coast and how difficult it can move.
Hey, at the end of the podcast, mate, I'll usually give my guest a few quick handball questions. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you five ex-teammate names, and just in a couple of words, just sort of give us a bit of a feel of what that particular person was like, in your time at the Cats and the Power. So the first one, I'll start at the Cattery,
Yep.
Peter Riccardi.
Well, I got along well with Rico. He's a ripper. So yeah, no, I just loved the way he played, being a left footer, and he was quick. He was pretty quiet, but geez, I love watching him play. And yeah, him coming off a wing was awesome.
Mickey Mansfield, number 21, superstar off halfback.
Yeah, and tough, wasn't he? He was tough. Wouldn't say he's my silkiest player going around, but he'd just get the job done week in, week out. And if you had someone you need to close down or something, he'd do the job. And I just think he was tough.
And you speak about that Carlton game in the finals in 94. I reckon this fellow I'm going to mention now was one of the pivotal players in that game too, with the absence of some of those gun midfielders, was Liam Pickering, Pickers.
Yeah, like he was probably almost couch-like, wasn't he? I reckon, in regards to, they just seem to get the footy. Their footy IQ is really good, and they just know the spots. They know where to get to. And he was one of them. He was just, he could get himself in the right spot, get the footy, and just seem to rack him up all day.
Let's go to the Power. One of my favourites early days was Donald Dickey.
Yeah, Donald, he was from a bit of flamboyant, wasn't he? And yeah, again, he was one that had probably a bit of an X factor about him, and those guys were just awesome. Some of the stuff they can do, but yeah, Donnie, he was probably a quieter sort of guy as well, but he could turn the helmet when he needed to.
And the last one, we didn't see a lot of him, but certainly had the famous hairstyle over there, was Darryl Poole.
Yeah, Pooley, well, I think he actually gave me the handball for the first goal over there. But again, a quiet guy, but he was tough. And he was a guy you knew you had around you, he was going to give 100%. Again, wasn't the most skillful guy, but like a lot of those guys at Port, they just played for 100 minutes and they played hard and gave it everything they possibly could. And he was one of those, no doubt about it. He was a hard man.
Over your journey, Brew, who was your hardest opponent, mate? Who was the one that sort of you had some good battles with?
No, I had a lot. Like everyone I played on was hard. When you look at the AFL, I wasn't by any means any good. So all the guys I played on were bloody good. I remember Robert Harvey, like, mate, we'd run three or four guys through him, and I'd ask you to go to him, and after 5 minutes, you're spent. So the next guy would go, Sean Simpson would then go on him, and then someone else, he was the first of the real, runners, and he was a magic midfielder and just strong through the hips, and he was hard to play. But then you get asked to do jobs on blokes like Buckley and stuff like that, who just demand the footy, and no matter where they are, they seem to get it. But yeah, like I said, there wasn't too many guys in there you lined up and going, oh, I'm gonna have an awesome day. Especially me, they might have lined up on me and said, I'm gonna have an awesome day. That's the way it worked. But yeah, no, there's a lot of yeah. I was lucky to be part of probably an era that I think was absolutely fantastic and had some magical players in it. I'm looking at Careys. These sort of guys that were, phenomenal. I was lucky enough to be involved, and, the Carlton teams, like you said, the West Coast teams were magic.
Hey, who was the best character you come across, mate? Obviously playing at the Cats, and then you played at Port Adelaide for a few seasons. Who was the one that the bloke that you sort of got on well with, had a few beers and a bit of banter and got yourselves into a little bit of trouble without being too much trouble?
Yeah, see, I was probably not, I love to have a bit of a drink and sort of get in amongst it a little bit, but yeah, geez, yeah, you go, blokes like Barnsley and stuff like that are always, that everyone, what you see is what you get with Barnsley, and that's how it was with us and everything else as well. But lots of them. They're all, hey, mate, you get any of them on any given day, and they can be pains in the butt, or they can be characters, or they can go push it a bit far. So, and that's the awesome thing about a football environment is you got that many different characters, and at times they surprise you, mate, when you think, geez, he's quiet, and next minute you go, oh my God, where'd that come from? And that's the good thing about being involved. And that's probably the bit I miss the most is, those guys around you and the characters you get to meet.
Last one, what was the best thing about playing AFL journey? What was the thing you enjoyed most about your AFL journey?
Ooh, that's a tough one, mate, because I probably stumbled upon AFL. It wasn't as a kid, it was a dream for me to play AFL at all, and that's all I had in mind. It wasn't. I remember an under 18 Till Cup after I played that, hardly played a game in that, but I got letters from footy clubs to say come and train. I never went. I just loved playing footy, and I was probably didn't take it for what it was. I was lucky to stumble upon it. I enjoyed it, no doubt about it, but probably didn't commit to it as much as maybe what I should have. But the crowds and the support is I didn't probably understand the influence you could have. And people were looking at you, and I didn't probably get probably didn't understand the effect you could have. And now I look back now as those the support and the commitment and that people give to those clubs. And all they ask in return is for you to do the same. And that's probably the bit I loved is those supporters that just rock up week in, week out. They come to train and win, lose or draw, they'd still rock up. And they do it year after year after year. And I think that is what makes the AFL or playing footy so enjoyable is those people who, they're the people who you're lucky enough to play in front of. They make it, no doubt about it.
Hey, Shane Brewer, been an absolute pleasure to reflect on your footy journey, mate. Much thanks to you, and thank you for jumping on the 90s Club Footy Podcast.
No, look, Trent, thanks very much for having me, mate. And no, I've enjoyed it. It's been great.